Morning. Finish the thought. Life is full of, and as you think about how to finish that thought, do you firmly believe that what the Lord allows, He also provides a way to endure through it? Life is full of, let's say, challenges in general and to our faith in God. Now, while such challenges can make us unhappy or even cynical, let us keep the big picture in mind, and in particular, let us keep in mind the words the Lord God has put in print to help avoid despair and to help see the big picture. This is no different to when it comes to what is before us this morning. God be praised for His word put in print. I direct your attention now to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song.
For the Lord is a great God, the great King of all gods.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Thank you.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Give it. That we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Somewhat fitting on this Sunday that it's gloomy outside. Not that the word of our Lord is gloomy, but it addresses the gloominess that impacts us physically, emotionally, and at times spiritually. And so as we hear this reading from Holy Scripture from the prophet Jeremiah, even through times of hopelessness and what seems lost, we are not without hope and we are not lost in the big picture, as we remain in the Lord who is always full of hope. Lord, you understand. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me, and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending, and my wound grievous and incurable? You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails. Therefore, this is what the Lord says, if you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked and deliver you from the grasp of the cruel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A repeated encouragement to keep the big picture in view, especially when we're going through the trials of life. This encouragement, a reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 8. The Apostle Paul writes, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 16th chapter, asking the question, what does one gain in setting aside Jesus? From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not even mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with the hymn, "In Christ Alone."
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance. Thankfully, this is because of God our Father's mercy toward us, mercy evident in the gift of sending us his one and only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We hear once again these words through the prophet Jeremiah, declares the Lord, I will save you from the hands of the wicked and deliver you from the grasp of the cruel. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear friends, thankfully we have that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, for what would our life be like without him serving as our rock and our redeemer? We would definitely live lives adrift in the open sea going nowhere. Would you consider yourself to be a resilient person? Is that the word that people might use to describe you? Hey, you are a resilient person. Or, you know, I was talking to so-and-so, and they are a resilient person. Well, what is a resilient person? Resiliency is the ability to bounce back quickly, to withstand being knocked down. It can include a mental or spiritual toughness. So, with that in mind, would you consider yourself to be a resilient person? Or who might you consider to be a resilient person? When it comes to having a relationship with Jesus, resiliency is vital, is it not? This has always been the case when it comes to we human beings having a relationship or a connection to the God of the universe. The words of Jeremiah before us remind us of the importance of having such resiliency when it comes to a relationship with God. And we don't bring this resiliency to the table, do we? God, rather, brings it to us. Another way, then, to put this resiliency is simply this. Keep a steady trust in the Lord. Why? Well, what is life full of? How did you fill that blank at the beginning of the service? Life is full of, one of the suggestions we used, challenges, trials, hardships. Oh, it's full of good times and good memories, but challenges are always there, aren't they not? And the Lord reminds us through the pages of Scripture that life will be full of challenges. I mean, he indicated that if Adam and Eve were to go against his command to obey him, that would come with consequences. And one of the consequences being life is full of challenges, hardships. A dominant theme the past few weeks has been about the challenges that are in life and how God can use these challenges as wake-up calls. Reminders for us as believers that life here on earth is not going to be perfect, and let's not set our hopes on this imperfect world, but rather set our hopes on the perfect world and life that God has made possible for us in his Son, our Savior Jesus. And for those who don't have a connection with God, a formal connection, a wake-up call that, maybe I need to get my life in order. Because life continues to be full of challenges. No matter how hard someone might try to clean up their life and avoid the challenges, they're still there. Jeremiah definitely could relate to a life full of challenges. And so he needed the reminder to keep a steady trust in the Lord, to remain resilient. Did you catch why Jeremiah was feeling challenges? I mean, he was at a low spot in his ministry, in his life. He was called by the Lord to be a prophet, a proclaimer of a message of repentance and hope to the people of Israel, Judah in particular. Their brothers to the north, brothers and sisters, had been taken captive, and the people to the south needed the reminder, hey, if you don't repent, what happened to them is going to happen to you. And so the Lord has sent me to wake you up from your spiritual slumber, to have and keep a trust in the Lord, because the people of Judah, their trust in the Lord definitely wavered. And so the Lord had, in a way, had turned against them, but yet not forgetting his promises to the world that would come through them. And yet he could not tolerate sin to go unchecked, and so he sent prophet after prophet, including Jeremiah, to bring back the people into a relationship, a proper relationship with the Lord. And how did the people of Judah take this message of repentance being called out? Oh, Jeremiah, thank you. Not. They heaped abuse on Jeremiah time and time again. In fact, there's a note about Jeremiah being thrown into a pit left to die. Thank you very much, Jeremiah, for your message of repentance. Tell it to somebody else. Oh, you're in a pit. You can't. But the Lord rescued Jeremiah. But we can see then why Jeremiah was feeling low. Lord, I have digested your word. I have preached this message of repentance knowing I'm going to get flack for it. And I have gotten flack for it. And I don't see it getting any different or better, Lord. What's the point? He was losing his resiliency. It was a hard and lonely task. Sound familiar? Can you relate a little bit to Jeremiah? When you call somebody out to repentance, a family member or a friend or someone maybe you just met, and you get into a conversation and you talk about sin and repentance, how it can come back in your face. Here you're trying to show love to this person and they don't want anything to do with it. What other challenges in life do we have to deal with, right? There are the physical challenges. Our body may not work the way it once used to. We end up bruised and battered. Our arms get broken. There's mental challenges. We don't remember what we used to remember. There's spiritual challenges. Doubts. Does God really love me? Can I withstand all the assaults that Satan throws at us? And so we too, like Jeremiah, can say, man, Lord, I have been digesting your word, and yet I still feel like I'm losing ground. What's the use? We need to be called out. And the Lord does call us out. And he is aware, as with Jeremiah and with us, how life's challenges, whatever those might be, can wear us down. I mean, Jeremiah, he got low, he got discouraged, he got tired. He felt abandoned. He's not the only one, right? I mean, Elijah, he felt, what's the point? Lord, these people still reject you. I'm done, Lord. And the Lord said, oh, no, you're not. Moses, he tried to give the people of Israel, you know, God, hey, remember, these are your people. I know you don't want them right now. Well, I sure don't want them. They're yours. I'm done. No, he wasn't. Think of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John and the Apostle Peter and others throughout the pages of Scripture who were faithful to the Lord, and yet what did that faithfulness get them? Abuse. More challenges. Doubts. And yet the Lord helped them through such. Good reminder for us is we can lose our focus and our hope. As we endure the challenges that life throws at us, we can become discouraged. We can doubt God's power? I mean, doesn't God have all power? Why can't he just snap his fingers and his people repent of their sin and they come to confess Jesus and sing fa-la-la-la-la the rest of their days? Lord, I go to church regularly. I even throw in a Bible study here and there. I do good works. I probably at least do 10 a day. Why am I sick? Why am I struggling mentally? Why do I still have doubts, Lord? You know, maybe we just need to go along with the world's views. That, you know, people go along with the world. They just seem to have life easy. And think of how many churches are growing, adopting a worldview theology. Maybe it's time we join the crowd. Not. That doesn't solve anything. That just adds more challenges. Things may look good and rosy on the outside, but do not be deceived. And so the Lord reminds Jeremiah, as he did with Elijah and Moses and Paul and John and you and me, keep the big picture in mind. Don't get caught up in the weeds, in the challenges at the moment. Rather, keep a steady trust in the Lord. For he knows the challenges we go through. And he reminds us that he, the Lord God, keeps his word. His word is full of what? Promises. Not empty promises. And one of the biggest promises, if not the biggest promise, you would say is what? Sending his son, related to our salvation. And that was at the heart of Jeremiah's mission and message. Repent, for the Lord has promised his son to come into this world to be the Savior. And he's using you, children of Israel, Judah, to bring about the human ancestry of Jesus. So that Jesus could come into this earth, walk the walk and talk the talk and take it to the cross. All our doubts and temptations to stray from the Lord and all the things that we have said against the Lord during life's challenges, all that could be taken to the cross and left there not to be brought up against us, so that we would be able to be in a position to stand alongside the Lord confidently, not based on anything we have done, but all through what Jesus has done for us through the cross. It's all about the cross and the blood that he shed for you and for me and for all. God keeps his promises. If you doubt that, go back to the cross. He also promises that he is never going to leave us alone. What is one of those go-to passages that you keep going back to when you are doubting, when you feel yourself losing your resiliency? I mean, the Lord has given us plenty of passages on paper to remind us of the fact that we are never alone. I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Lord is my shepherd. We shall never be in want. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is our refuge and strength. When we are weak, then we are really strong. And on and on and on, right? To remind us, we are never alone. And so at times, the Lord has to call us to repentance, to wake us out of our spiritual slumber and apathy, to help us become resilient yet once again. And so sometimes the word that we digest, it's going to be sour to the taste because it's not what we want to hear, but it's what we need to hear. And at other times, the word that we digest is going to be sweet because it's the good news of the gospel, reassuring us that our sins have been forgiven and that God is with us every step of the way. The word has been given for this purpose, to remind us and to encourage, to build us up, to keep us resilient, so we always have a steady trust in the Lord. For we are never beyond the Lord's care and provision. When he says he satisfies the desire of every living thing, he means it, and he does. The issue, the problem is not with him, it's with us. And so we need to stay connected to the Lord. In a sense, the Lord through Jeremiah encourages not only Jeremiah, but us believers of all time to continually share his promises. And even though it may seem a little odd, who is the number one person to share God's promises with? You, right? Continue to digest the word inwardly, that it becomes a part of you, that his will indeed is your will and vice versa. Not just a dabble here and there, but hunkering down in it. It's like you haven't eaten for days, and when you get that mashed potatoes and gravy and meatloaf, what do? You devour it. Notice if you haven't eaten for days. Well, in a way, we haven't eaten for days, even though we're here today. But what happens to the word that we hear today? How much do we really capture and hold on to? Don't we need to be refreshed in that word again and again? I mean, think of how much the world gets to influence you day after day in the workplace, on commercials and radio and so forth. And yet God's word gets how much of your time? Is it any wonder why we lose our resiliency? So digest that word. Stay the course, the Lord reminds us. That is, take up the cross. It is about making sacrifices for the Lord, keeping in mind the big picture. Because if we don't make those sacrifices now, the sacrifice he made for us is not going to benefit us. Part of taking up the cross then is denying ourselves. Lord, not my will be done. Lord, your will be done. Lord, help me keep that steady trust in you. And as we work on that, we also then are to share his promise with others. To help others who are going through life's challenges, who are down and out, who are losing their resiliency, who are going through a fog, we can help them stay the course. I mean, how important it is, right? When you're going through a fog and you can't see anything, what are you looking for? You kind of like that big semi in front of you with the lights on so that you can follow, hopefully, in the right direction, rather than feeling all alone. Or those white lines in the middle of the road. You can be the white lines in the middle of the road. You can be the taillights of that semi to somebody who is going through a fog in life, to help them stay the course. And so you can pray with them. You can pray for them. You can meet them somewhere to encourage them. Maybe you can't meet with them face to face, but maybe you can meet them. Well, we got this cool thing called a phone in our hands. Text them, email them. We still have a post office. You can send them a card. There's so many ways that we can encourage someone, and at the same time, we're being encouraged as we're doing what the Lord wants us to do, to stay connected ourselves and to help others stay connected to them. And another way we can share God's promises, have the opportunity to do so, is just by how we carry ourselves through this life. Because people know we go through challenges. Are we cursing God as we go through them? Or are we still giving praise to God? And we may question God, you know, why, Lord? Well, in general, because of sin. Maybe it's something specific we did. We reap what we sow. And while we question maybe the why, Lord, continue to help me grow in trust. Let's keep a steady trust in you, even though I may not understand the why or for what purpose yet, knowing that you have my good in mind, spiritual most of all. And letting people know that we're going through challenges because they know we're real. And when they're going through challenges, who better to reach out to than someone who, hey, you've gone through a challenge, a diagnosis, a hardship. How you endure? The opportunities then put before us to share the hope that we have. It's interesting, right? I mean, if the prophet Jeremiah, if he could find himself questioning his role and what God is doing about this world, well, take heart as we do the same. Yet it is not an excuse, is it, to walk away? Rather, it is a wake-up call to get closer to God with the goal of regaining and keeping a steady trust in him through this life. A life full of challenges or free from challenges. Either way, right, God has equipped us to stay the course. So are you a resilient person? If not, you can be. The recipe is before us. And if you are a resilient person and working on it, there's always room for improvement on this side of heaven. Give thanks for God's grace, which makes you that, which helps you keep that steady trust in the Lord through thick and thin. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. We join together in the confession of faith in the middle of page 9.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Amen. Please be seated.
And God be praised for the opportunity to
share our thank offerings with him and with others as these thank offerings turn into mission opportunities here locally through St. Mark's and also through our congregation mission offerings sent throughout the synod so that people everywhere, by the grace of God, can become resilient through the preaching of the means of grace possible through your thank offerings. God be praised. We pray. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people.
We especially thank you for the gift of your one and only Son, who has ascended into heaven and sits at your right hand.
We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne and that he intercedes for us in all our needs.
Send your Holy Spirit.
Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
May they teach your children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve
hear the prayers of all who are afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. Lord, we reap what we sow. Help us sow generously as you are generous with us. Through you, we have become rich in ways the world on its own will not know or find. Help us use the thank offerings we bring to support the spread of the gospel, so more and more can know what true wealth is and reap a harvest of righteousness. May those able to celebrate another year of grace be able to see your grace abundantly poured out in their life. And for our couples celebrating their wedding anniversary, renew their love in light of your love for each of them. Thank you, Lord, for watching over Pam Drennan and Martha Kohler during their medical procedures this past week. May the recovery for each of them go smoothly, and in time the healing complete. Continue to lift them up by way of refreshing their souls with your gospel. We give you thanks, Lord, for the gift of life and faith given to Lowell Donahoe. As this earthly life for Lowell is drawing to an end, refresh his trust and that of his family in you and your promises. In your loving hands he remains. And now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
To him be praise and honor and glory and power, now and forever. Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we turn now to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
We pray. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. And just a Bible study in the Gospel of Matthew. This will be our last session for this round. We're looking at really how to stay resilient in the faith as the Lord provides expectation and direction, and also then the ability to put his word into practice, especially on some tough topics that may be close to home in our family or in our circle of friends. Matthew 19 and 20. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society Mission Box, first Sunday of the month. Thank you for your generosity in supporting the efforts that LWMS does in showing their support for our missions here in the U.S. and also throughout the world. You can find more information about LWMS and the missions they support there on the information board in the lobby. So please take some time to do that if you haven't already. Then Monday services, we're not having a Monday service on Labor Day tomorrow, but we will be having a worship service Monday evening, 6:30 on the 11th. Just a reminder of that, we will be having Monday worship service on the 11th. There was some miscommunication on that, I was told. JOL, Women's Bible Study, it shows it. It starts this Thursday, but it doesn't. This is to see if you're paying attention. It actually starts a week from this Thursday, so keep that in mind. It starts on the 14th, right? That's what it is, the 14th, is Thursday at 9:30. And then regarding Pastor Waterstrat's victory service on Monday the 11th at 11 o'clock here at the church, regarding the, in particular, the potluck to follow, some of you may have caught the ask if you are able to make a double portion, please do so. As people come from distances, we're not going to be asking them to bring a hot dish or even a cold dish. We'll provide that through our generosity. So thank you for that. Also, there's been a request, if you have some pictures of Pastor Waterstrat during his ministry that you would like to share, please let us know in the office. Contact Stacy, and then you can talk to Ellie as well if you have those pictures that you like to put on loan on a collage, so memories can be made and conversations started next week. Other than that, see the weekly news for other things that are going on here at church and school. There's a plethora of activities taking place so that we can stay connected, as also then connect others in our community to us. I mean, that's finally why we're here, right? Not just to be a closed group, but a group open to the community while not compromising the word at the same time. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.